Welcome, everybody, to Midday Magazine for this Wednesday, July 31st, 2024. I have your host, James J. Mailoff, here. Thanks so much for joining us, everybody. In part two, we're going to speak with new superintendent of the Wisconsin Rapids Public Schools, Ronald A. Rasmussen, going to join us, and he's bringing Amber Appleby, principal over at Mead Elementary School. Looking forward to talking with them. But one of our good friends, Scott J. Seeger, is in with us right now, regional dementia care specialist with the Aging and Disability Resource Center of Central Wisconsin. Scott, good to have you with us.
Thanks for having me back.
Always appreciate the time, sir, and especially what you and your team do over there at the EDRC. Do some really important work in this community. We're very thankful for it. Please say hi to the gang over there for us. Scott, I want to dive right into the topic at hand. And getting into this, if you don't mind starting with what is a primary role? What is the primary role of a dementia care specialist?
Yeah, so we're here to support those individuals living with dementia. Oftentimes, though, that's really support for the family because individuals living with dementia may not recognize that, may be in somewhat denial. So we're here to support the family caregivers on that journey with just education, caregiver classes. But then we also do community education, and that includes dementia education because there's not enough of that out there for our communities. But then we also do some brain health education.
You know, Scott, I think the more and more we go forward here as we're learning more and more about the brain, it's that much more important that we get ahead of these things.
Absolutely.
We can't necessarily know if somebody is going to have this. Certainly there are family, you know, if a family member has had it before and some of those things, but it's not necessarily a telltale sign that it's going to happen. But one thing we are learning is that we can prevent a lot of these things. Not completely, maybe necessarily, the science isn't necessarily there, but we have, you know, scientific proof that keeping your brain healthy, keeping exercising your brain benefits you much longer in life than we're finding out more and more.
Yeah, reducing the risk is critically important, and we're not getting enough of that information.
Yeah, speaking to what you are about the dementia health classes that are available and everything, the more we spread the word about those classes, the more people learn about them, hopefully more and more people are able to hold this off or keep this from happening or something.
Absolutely.
When a family is in need of support, what is the best way for them to connect with a dementia care specialist, Scott?
Yeah, so we want them just to reach out to the Aging and Disability Resource Center first, because what our intake staff are going to do is really kind of assess the needs of the family. We don't want to miss something that the family may be able to take advantage of with regards to supports in the community. So they'll reach out to the ADRC. Our intake staff will help determine kind of what the needs are, and if it is truly just seeing a dementia care specialist, then our intake staff will make sure that happens. But in the process, we have the opportunity to assess the needs of the family in general and the person that they're calling about to make sure we're getting them connected to the right support services.
Is this a sort of a case-by-case thing where different people are going to need different assistance?
Absolutely. And that's what we want to offer each person that contacts us is, you know, not giving them some cookie-cutter approach. We want to assess their individual needs so this really can be catered to what it is that they're needing help or support with.
Like a lot of things, this is not a one-size-fits-all thing. It's really encouraging to hear that,
right.
You know.
Right.
I know that when my family and I dealt with this with my Nana, with everything my family has been through, we had never been through anything like this. And it was you guys over there, it was a lot of that really helped a lot my dad and me in understanding a lot more of this and the uniqueness of her condition compared to another.
Right.
And just even learning that, you know, I think for a lot of my family going into it, we just assumed that dementia is dementia. Alzheimer's.
Right.
But it makes sense that every one of us are unique, that it would be unique to the individual and certain issues are to certain families.
Absolutely. And in aging in general, it's unique to the individual, and we don't want to miss opportunities to support people the best way that we can.
Does the support from dementia care specialists come at any cost?
I'm glad you asked that because a lot of people worry about that with increasing health care costs nowadays. No, we do not come at a cost. We are not going to ask for insurance. We're not going to ask to prepay for services. Our support is paid for by taxpayer dollars. And so we're here to support you. If you need us, we're there. If you don't, great. We hope you're getting the education and support you need somewhere else.
And I think it's important that you note that, Scott, on many levels, certainly as you say before about the healthcare system and everything, but also I think, and I don't mean this in a way like you want to get your money worth You know, you're paying for this. This is your services, everybody.
Right.
Take advantage of it.
Absolutely.
Use them. The ADRC wants to be busy.
Yes.
They want your care. They want to help. This is what they do. You don't get into this job for the money. You get into it because you love people. You care about your community.
Right.
And they want to work. So put them to work. You reach out with your questions. Reach out with your concerns and let them know, and they can help.
Yeah, absolutely.
With the community education part of this, you mentioned dementia education and awareness, but you also mentioned brain health. Why is a dementia care specialist talking about brain health, Scott?
Yeah, so the interesting part about that is the research is showing us now that about 40% of people living with dementia could have likely avoided that journey had they taken better care of themselves and better care of their brain. And so when you were talking earlier about things that we can do to reduce our risks and hopefully prevent this from happening, I would love to be out of a job someday because we don't have to worry about dementia. The problem is right now, not enough focus is on the health of the brain. And so if we can help teach people to be more responsible with regards to their lifestyle choices, that's really critically important. But like you said, unfortunately, there are going to be some people that no matter what they do, they maybe have a predisposition because of family history or some other genetic thing or other medical conditions. But for those of us that really have choices in this, let's get that education out there and help people learn so they don't have to be one of those statistics. They can reduce their risk and hopefully never be on that dementia journey.
I think we learn really young that, okay, well, my body's gonna you know, slowly over time deteriorate a little bit. I'm not gonna be able to jump up from a fall the way I used to, or some of those things, as I learned this previous weekend. The brain, I am an adult. I understand that life is not about fair and unfair, but it seems so unfair that the brain would deteriorate and go. And that it seems like something that, well, we should be able to prevent. Well, it's so great to hear of some of these things that not necessarily you can prevent or anything like that. And as you mentioned, there's still science to be done by this. But my son, just about a year ago, graduated from UM in neurology. And I don't just mention that to brag about my kid, but because I have a lot of conversations with him about the brain, he is so encouraging and hopeful about how much groundbreaking work we're doing on that subject and learning more and more about the brain. We are in 2024. We have been to the moon. It's nothing for us to go to the moon. Depths of the ocean we never would have dreamed of. We're still mapping the brain.
Yes.
It's pretty amazing to think about. And that's not me. Like, there's no shot there. That's because they've tried. they've been working on this and everything. It's still something that's just taking more and more data, more and more work. It's kind of fascinating if you take a step back.
The brain is fascinating.
Yeah,
so yes,
yeah.
And the research into it is absolutely fascinating. Now, for some, they're not going to geek out on it, but it is very interesting. And we also minimize how critically important the brain is. It is responsible for everything we do and everything we don't control with our bodies, right? It's controlling the things like breathing, the simple things that we take for granted. And so it is important that we pay attention to these things so that we have the opportunity to maximize positive choices and continue to learn about ways that we can, again, hopefully reduce our risks.
Scott, certainly we don't have to go too far down a rabbit hole here, but are there things that we can be doing in our day-to-day that could be really healthy for our brains?
Absolutely. And you know, we talk about this in some of the brain health education, but to keep it simple, what are we eating and drinking? Critically important to the brain. What are we putting in our body? Because our blood flows throughout the entire brain. Are we healthy? Are we sleeping well? And we talk more about these things in some of our educational sessions, but it is something that many of us really do take for granted. And even those that are maybe already living with chronic conditions like dementia.
You mentioned things there, Scott. And again, we encourage people to take these classes, take them in and learn even more in depth about these things. But some of the stuff you mentioned right there, Scott, are things that we can incorporate in our lives right now.
Absolutely.
And I think that's one of the things that I remain hopeful about this subject is that this is something that it doesn't take $1 million pill, or it doesn't take this or this to be able to do, or 12 weeks of training or something. Like, this is something, as you're hearing us talk about this, you can make changes to your diet, make changes to your sleep, and that to really impact your future self that will really appreciate that stuff.
Right. And we want it to be sustainable. So we really encourage people to do small things. Don't try to do this all or nothing. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's why these crash diets never work, right?
True.
Because we're miserable in the process. So start small, but then continue it so it becomes the new normal and it's sustainable.
We're speaking with our friend Scott Seeger with the Aging and Disability Resource Center of Central Wisconsin. And Scott, I was wondering, can you talk about brain health for people already living with dementia?
Yeah, you know, that's a really interesting question and a great one, because a lot of people disregard health once they find out they're living with a chronic condition. And this is across the board, not just dementia, but in particular, dementia. When somebody is living with dementia, unfortunately, because there is no cure, it is considered a terminal condition. However, that length of time is different for every person who's diagnosed with dementia. But because we can't cure it, and we know it's a progressive condition, it's only going to get worse. And so when we talk about brain health for somebody that's now living with dementia, we want them more so to take real consideration as to what it is that they're doing for themselves. Now, the challenge with this is if it is a person living with dementia, oftentimes they're not as aware of what's happening. So it really then falls to the family and the caregivers to start taking note of some of these things. And right, we may not be able to help a person living with dementia sleep better if their mind is wired in a way that they're struggling with that. But as caregivers, we can absolutely participate in how they're eating and making sure that they have healthy snacks, that they're staying hydrated. And we hear this a lot that, okay, someone who's dehydrated, it affects their cognition and their brain. Well, maybe they don't like to drink water or have other things, but what about cucumbers or watermelon? Foods that are, you know, high in water content. And so it really does come down to, can the caregivers take on this initiative? Because more so than you and I, which it's critically important for you and I to pay attention to the health of our brain, but now when we know someone's living with dementia, it should be the number one priority to start looking at brain health. We can't change the dementia per se, but we may be able to slow down the progression. And why wouldn't we all want ourselves to have the opportunity to do that?
It's one of the more integral parts of this, too. I think it gets lost in the shuffle sometimes. That was even surprising to my family and I when it came to hearing that information. And it was integral, not only in my Nana's life and in her process, but for us to be in the moment and appreciate her. And really enjoying our time with her that we had. We didn't know how much time we would have, but we wanted to get every second count and make the most of it and everything. And I look back and I'm incredibly appreciative of my family getting that because I know that as a caregiver, it's not something that we often think about. In fact, there's so many people out there that are caregivers that don't even know they are.
Right.
It took a conversation about 5 or 6 years ago with you guys at the ADRC for me to realize I'm interviewing. And we're talking about care, care specialists and some of these things. And I realized in the middle of the interview, like, wait a minute, I'm doing this for my parents right now. And I didn't even think about it or anything. So it can happen and where you don't even notice this stuff. Right. And I think that one of the things that, especially when we are so not in the moment, but so close to these things, that we don't take a step back oftentimes and see some of that. It's great to have the ADRC around, to have somebody like you around to kind of help our community, help people in those situations when there's so much emotion and there's so much of concern, whether it's for your own self and your future or for your family member that is going through this or loved one that's going through this, that we need a third party oftentimes that can take a step back and certainly has a lot of heart about this and cares very much about it, but maybe not as close to it, so they're able to give you some of this insight.
Right. Yeah. And I'm glad you bring that up about family members not seeing themselves as caregivers, because it is a huge issue where people just think, oh, it's just part of my responsibility as a member of the family. And then they do minimize that role. And then all of a sudden there are these role changes. and maybe reversal of roles if you now are caring for your parents. And so it does get really complicated. And you mentioned the emotions. That's not something that needs to be ignored. And it's actually very dangerous if it's ignored. And so that's part of what our caregiver classes will help caregivers learn about, is the fact that they're not abnormal because they feel apprehensive in that caregiving role, or they feel angry, or they're sad and they're frustrated. There's a lot of guilt that comes with that. At the same time, when it's especially a chronic condition or a progressive condition like dementia, we don't want the family caregivers to lose their identity and give up their life to be on that caregiving journey. It's very different than caring for somebody who had a hip fracture and is going to rehabilitate. And if you lose your identity on that caregiving journey, oftentimes it's really hard to get that back down the road when your person passes away.
Yeah, yeah. That's an incredibly important point. Thank you for that, Scott. Are there any upcoming opportunities for people to learn about dementia and or brain health?
Yeah, so the ADRC in particular, we have what's called our Topic Tuesday series, and we rotate throughout our region because we do support 5 offices in 4 counties. But we have on the 3rd Tuesday of every month, Dementia Basics, and on the 4th Tuesday of every month, Brain Health Basics. And in August, we will be doing that here in Rapids. And that's right at our ADRC office at Centralia Center. So it's great for people to come and learn. Now, I'm not a physician, but we are giving people some great information to get some of that basic information that is really necessary for them to understand dementia a little bit more, as well as looking at brain health in a different light.
It's incredibly great work that you guys are doing over there, Scott, and really do appreciate it. I'd also like to mention a couple of volunteer opportunities for people out there that where you can really impact and help your community and the ADRC at the same time. And Memory Cafe is one of them. Memory Cafe is it's a program for individuals living with dementia and their loved ones. Every other month, they meet for about 2 hours. And this is a group that you can be a part of, keep in mind, and maybe help out with in some way. And of course, there's Meals on Wheels, a program that we love to highlight and talk about. You bring a hot meal and a friendly smile to older adults who are homebound in the community. They do this Monday through Friday. This is does not take a lot of time to do. The ADRC works with you on this as far as where are you comfortable driving or what is within your reach. Maybe you're doing this on a lunch break. So instead of having to go to the other side of town, they find something near your job or something like that. If I can be blunt, the ADRC bends over backwards to try to make this accessible for our community. The least we can do is have their back the way they have ours and be a part of these Meals on Wheels and volunteering to donate your time to be able to drop these meals off or packaging meals. There's the senior dining site where you serve lunch to older adults who come together for food and fun Monday through Friday. It's usually mid-mornings. That's about a 2-3 hour time. Office help. They're always looking for that as well. Anything that you can do with the ADRC, you are putting an investment in our community. You are taking your time that we appreciate and we value and using it to impact your community and make it better. And I have to say, as somebody who has done Meals on Wheels, this is a program that when you go into it, maybe as a stranger, you leave as a friend. You will make friends with these people. I don't put my name on much. I will put my name on this. You will make a friend. You will find a great new individual in your life that you don't know. You may remember the rest of your life. I know I do. I did this over 15 years ago, and I still can, like, in my head, picture the people that I was dropping meals off to, especially this one guy that made cuckoo clocks. I'd never seen that before and everything. And he'd take me in there and show me the progress of what he's doing. It's nice. Incredible what they do with those things. He was somebody that was struggling with dementia as well, now that I think about it. And he was he didn't have a home caregiver. He didn't have somebody in his life. And it was thanks to they're out there, an ADRC, that was very helpful for him and everything. Yeah. These programs, we can't really put into words how important they are and how much of an impact you can make by being a part of them.
Well, and we all know from COVID, isolation and loneliness is very, very detrimental to our mental health. And a lot of these people who are receiving meals from the ADRC, the driver or the volunteer who's bringing them the meal is the only person they see all week long. So it is critically important for them to have that person that they know and can rely on. The other part of it is, it is an investment in your own brain health, because volunteering is very positive and makes us feel good and actually changes the way the brain is wired.
You're good. That was good. Nice tie. That was well done, sir. That was great. Scott, we appreciate you so much. Appreciate the team over there. Please say hi to them for us. If people have follow-up questions, would like to know more about some of what we talked about today, how can they reach you?
Yeah, best way is through our phone number, 888-486-9545.
And find out more at adrc-cw.org, adrc-cw.org. Be sure to follow the ADRC and spread the word about the great work they are doing over there. And if you have a moment to spare, we'd love to have you as a volunteer over there. Find out more about that at adrc-cw.org. Thanks again for the time, Scott. Appreciate it.
Thanks for having me back.
We'll have more Midday Magazine coming up for you right here at 97.5 FM, 1320 AM, WFHR. We are locally grown radio.